okay, this is a video that I thought about making a few times and sort of backed off, and then thought I ought to make it and backed off, and I'm going to make it. I want to talk about the industrial action within the UK, and I want to talk about what I think's driving it, where I think it could go, how I think it could probably be ended, and hopefully give people a little bit more perspective on that, because the perspectives you see in the media are really, really poor, I think, from both sides, and it frustrates me some of the things that don't get said. So this is my chance to say those things. I ought to lay out who I am, right? It's important we understand the biases of the people we're listening to. I'm a firefighter. The FBU, the Fire Brigades Union, I'm a member of it. I voted yes for strike action. There was a 70-odd percent turnout. 88% of those who voted yes. I am pretty sure we're going to end up going out on strike, probably within a month. Okay, just to give you some perspective. So that gives you some of my biases. It also limits to some extent what I can say because I'm still employed. We all need to be cognizant nowadays of what we say because, let's be honest, we all know that employers are sort of falling over themselves to try and make an example of anybody who oversteps the mark on social media. Happily, I think I can tell you everything I need to say without overstepping that mark. That's certainly the intention of what I'm going to do in this video. Okay. You also maybe need to know that I'm not some rabid leftist. I'm very much to the right of a lot of my colleagues. I suppose I'm centre-right. Economically, I am right-wing. So I look at it from that perspective. I don't see unions as something that are inherently left-wing, despite the fact that that is their origins. If you look at the CBI or the Institute of Directors, it's quite clear that sort of acting in a capacity where you get together and represent yourselves as a group for the benefit of all the members is not an exclusively left-wing thing, and neither should it be. It's just basically a damn good idea. And a union is just one example of that. I think unions, trade unions, are a wonderful thing. And I don't think that being right-wing means you need to be against trade unions, quite honestly. That's maybe the first fundamental point that I want to make. Okay, that's kind of set out where I'm from. So look, how have we got where we've got? The groups that we're talking about, there was significant strike action today. There was the teachers. I think the railway workers went out today. The teachers went out and the nurses went out today. Who'd have thought we'd be seeing nurses striking? But I can understand why. We had an economic crash in 2008. And ever since then, we've seen pay attrition. What do I mean by that? What I mean is year-on-year, real terms, pay cuts. All these groups, generally over that period, have had, in an absolute sense, pay rises. But the economic model that we work to, nearly all economists agree on this. Okay, it's a sort of fundamental principle of capitalist free market economics is that a degree of inflation is a good thing. You need a little bit of inflation. If you have deflation, things go bad pretty quickly. It's a really poor economic model to run to for various reasons regarding the way that debt is managed primarily. So we need a little bit of inflation. It's a healthy thing. But obviously, if pay doesn't keep in step with that, then any pay rise that you get is effectively a pay cut. Number might be going up, right? But unless you take your pay just to add to your collection of banknotes that you pin on the wall, right? If you actually take your pay to spend it on the things that you need, then in real terms, that is a pay cut. You end up poorer. You end up with less spending power year on year on year. And that is what has happened. If I can give you some idea of the degree to which that's happened that I've experienced, we had a series of strikes back in 2003, 2004 over pay. Our pay had already eroded significantly in the fire service at that point, to such an extent that the national employers, which are the people who are in charge of giving us our pay and working out what it's going to be, admitted as much. They admitted it needed a significant pay rise, but it was a pay rise that they couldn't afford to give us, wouldn't you know? But that was the situation back then. But they admitted we needed a significant pay rise. We got a pay rise, but not as much as even they admitted we needed to get. At the end of that put us on £25,000. As I say, at that point, that is a figure that they admitted at the time we were underpaid. If you go to the Bank of England's inflation calculator, 2004 25,000 pounds equates to, I've got the figure here, it is £39,750. Our actual pay is about £32,200. So our pay has gone up about half as much as it should have done since 2004. We're over £7,000 down on where we should be to have been at the same level of eroded pay that we were back in 2004. And that is the fundamental of the problem. I don't have the equivalent figures for the nurses and for the teachers. What I do know is that the Institute of Fiscal Studies has said as much. They're an independent body and they have said that since 2008, nurses' pay and teachers' pay has both gone down by about 10%, 11% in real terms. So these are year-on-year pay cuts. But it's been death by a thousand cuts, effectively. Inflation has been low and it's just been a tiny little pay cut, real terms pay cut, every year. Right, you get a pay rise some years no pay rise at all because inflation's that low, but it always just undercuts the cost at which goods are going up. So your spending power goes down a little bit every year. Now, I think most of us hoped that at some point this would resolve itself. Unfortunately, what has happened economically is the opposite. Okay, which is that suddenly then a confluence of different factors has led to inflation spiking at over 10%, and it looks like it will remain over 10% for most of this year. And so effectively then what happens is that when your employer says to you, well, we're going to give you a 5% pay rise, that's actually a 5 or 6% pay cut in a single year. Now, when you've already had these cumulative pay cuts, that's a breaking point then. That's the point when you say, nah, do you know what? I'm not going to stand for this anymore. I've had enough of this, right? I'm just not going to put up with this. This is the point where you start thinking, yeah, I'm going to go on strike. Now, there's lots of ways in which this is all kind of managed within the media. One thing that employers do, in fact, it's happened within the fire service, is that London Fire Brigade has offered, I think, an 11% pay rise, but it's over 2 years. So effectively what London is doing is they're trying to provide a headline figure which looks similar to inflation, but you're staging it over a number of years. So effectively what London is offering their firefighters is a 5% pay cut in real terms 1 year and a guaranteed 5% pay cut in real terms the next year. It's not really a very good deal, if I'm being honest, but the problem is that the media just reports it as, well, you're getting an 11% pay increase. I don't know why they don't go a whole hog and offer you a 100% pay increase over 100 years, because I swear the media would just report it as a 100% pay increase. And this is a lot of the frustrations that we have. It's a very frustrating situation. We ended up as firefighters. We started off in a position. The Sun was not particularly kind to us back in 2004. But they said to us, well, your pay isn't that great. It has eroded, but you've got this gold-plated pension scheme. Right? The gold-plated pension scheme has gone now. I don't know what it would be now. Maybe a tin-plated pension scheme or something like that. Maybe a radioactive uranium-plated pension scheme. It certainly isn't gold-plated anymore. That pension scheme is long gone. That's been consigned to the dustbin of history. They've got to give us a worse pension scheme and the pay is still eroded, right? So where do you go from there? Well, unfortunately, where you go from there is having to take part in pay negotiations that are horribly asymmetric, that are as a result of government implementations of successive Conservative and Labour governments to contrive some of the most devious and manipulative negotiation mechanisms that you could imagine. Why? To try and give the government the ability to create a degree of freedom where they still maintain almost absolute control over pay deals, but can say, well, it's nothing to do with us, it's out of our hands. It's this independent party that's taking ownership of this. They're responsible for the pay deal. It takes different forms in different sectors. Let me compare and contrast the situation in the fire service and in the NHS. In the fire service, the representative bodies of the workers have to negotiate with the national employers. The government will tell you, we don't set firefighters' pay, folks. It's nothing to do with us. It's the national employers that do that. But the national employers are entirely 100% constrained by budget. They themselves were quite clear. They were frustrated by this back in 2004, such that they walked out of talks because they were so frustrated, not with the unions, but with the government, because, as they said to the media back in the day, the government were tying their hands behind their backs, stopping them being able to negotiate, because you can't negotiate on pay if you have no money to do so. The fact is, in the fire service, that fire engines have been cut, fire stations have been cut, and personnel have been cut severely since 2004. And yet with all those budget reductions, commensurate with those reductions in personnel and equipment, still the reductions in budget have been so great that they still have no money to negotiate with. So the government sits behind the national employers and says, it's nothing to do with us, it's the national employers that set the pay. But of course, the national employers can only set the pay with the money that the government's given them, and the government just doesn't give them any money. Ergo, they have no money to negotiate any pay. It's a wonderful trick. Well done, successive governments. What a marvellous exercise in manipulation of public sentiment that is. The nurses, the NHS, I think, have it worse in some ways. It's even more manipulative. It's even more imaginative. They have an independent pay review body, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine, what would you think with an independent pay review body? You would imagine that perhaps what they would do is they would look at a role, maybe a nurse, and say, what is a nurse worth in society? What do nurses get in other societies? How has nurses' pay changed over the years? What ought we be paying nurses? And then the offer would be based on the difference between where nurses are now and where nurses ought to be. Right? Independent review body. None of that. Forget all of that. It's nothing to do with that. They state it quite clearly in the remit of the pay review body that they have to take into account, fundamentally, they have to operate within NHS budget. So if the NHS budget increases 0%, it just doesn't matter how much nurses are worth, they will need to recommend 0% increase. They have to take into account the overall economic climate. They have to take into account the government's, I mean, you couldn't make this up, they have to take into account the government's inflation policy. How is it still, riddle me this, how is it still an independent pay review body when it has to operate within the government's inflation policy? All this is just a contrivance. It's just a trash. It's just a veneer. It's just the curtain in front of the Wizard of Oz, and the Wizard of Oz, the government there, is still pulling the levers, and it's just this veneer in front is the independent pay review body. Don't be fooled by any of this when you read it in the paper. It is the government that decides in all these cases what the pay increase will be, because they are setting the terms, they are setting the budgets, and if they restrict the budgets, then the pay deals are restricted. The hands of these bodies are always, always tied, 100%. Okay, I did say how I think this will end, how it could end. As I said earlier on in this video, I'm not a left winger, right? I understand the economic circumstance. I'm a capitalist. I'm a realist. I understand the government wants to bring down inflation. My union and some of the other unions might not thank me for saying this, but I know that we're not going to get an inflation pay deal, right? We're going to get a pay cut, right? I don't even know why they don't frame this in terms of pay cut. I would, if I was a union representative on the television, I'd talk about the degree of pay cut we're getting, and I'd be asking the government what level of pay cut they think we're worth. That's what I would be doing. I think that the problem is that you're not going to get people to accept a 5 or 6% pay cut in a single year, and then another 5 or 6% the next year. It's just not going to happen, right? You can dream on if you think that's going to happen. But I do think that maybe people would accept a 2% pay cut or a 3% pay cut. Maybe if the deals were 7.5% and 8%, maybe you're getting to the point where it's still below inflation. It's still not having quite the same impact, the same inflationary pressure. I understand you increase people's pay in line with inflation when inflation is high, and it's hard to bring inflation down. Not as high as it was in the 70s. We don't have the same nationalised industries. We don't have the British Leylands, the British Steels, all these other pseudo-nationalised corporations that will then demand the same deals. The private sector is more separate now. It wouldn't have quite the same impact in any case. I'm absolutely certain of that. But nevertheless, it does have an inflationary pressure. I accept that. If you want a deal, if the government wants a deal, it needs to get real, I think. I know that rhymes. It's not a good rhyme. It rhymes. They need to get real. 5%, 6% ain't going to cut it. Nobody is going to take that much of a hit in one single year. Not least when a lot of the measures outside of housing are going up way more than the 10%. Housing is holding down that CPI. You take that away, screeching off up there to the 13s and 14%, right? Nobody can cope with that. Nobody is going to accept 5 or 6%. It needs to be in the sort of 8 or 9% region, I think. And I think then you have a deal, and then it's still below the headline CPI rate of inflation. That's where I think it has to go. In the longer term, I'm not sure how some of these things are sustainable. I really don't know how economically some of these things are sustainable. If you're cutting back public services the way the fire service has been cut back, and the only way you're still prepared to operate it is to give annual real-term pay cuts every single year, I don't know. Something needs to break. Something's going to break somewhere down the line, isn't it? Okay, look. That's what I think. Really interested. I know this is quite an issue that a lot of people who watch this video have quite contentious arguments and opinions on. I know some of the people that watch my videos are sort of pretty anti-union, so I'm interested to know what you think. What do you think about the legitimacy of strikes? What do you think about the strike action in this context? What do you think is going to be the ultimate outcome? What should the government do in this particular situation? What should the unions do? Interested to have your input. I hope you've got something out of this video. Before I go, I should say, I never talk about my Patreon now, but as the prices are going up, right, and you've seen the attrition of pay over the years, right, it gets harder and harder. I understand. If you enjoy my videos and you can't afford it, just keep enjoying the videos. But if you enjoy the videos and you can chuck a couple of dollars, pounds, crinkly bottom groats, whatever it is, if you can chuck a couple in, then I would be very much appreciated. Okay, hope you've enjoyed the video. Thank you for watching. Bye for now.